Okay, so we are doing, as it were, part three of the Tanya, which is called the Geras HaTshuva. This was added, this was not in the first edition, but this was added as a Chelek Gimel. I think it was after the Alter Rebbe's death when they put it as part of the Tanya. And some actually ask a question, why is it called the Geras? Because as far as the evidence shows, this was never sent as a letter to his Hasidim. Part four, which is called the Geras HaKodesh, are actual letters that he sent to his Kehilos. The Geras HaTshuva, apparently not, so there's a little bit of a Tzarechian. Why is it called the Geras? But nevertheless, as I indicated, there are three themes in the Geras HaTshuva. Theme number one, which for us is not so nogeya, is the role of fasting, in which people were very concerned with the Arizal giving a whole schedule of Tanesim, for various Averos, and the Baal HaTanya on one hand is very, very mako. He says, in our generation, we should cut down on fasts, but nevertheless, he says they are important, and he indicates that one should try to follow the series, at least once in one's life, of all of these Tanesim, even though you could do them over 10 or 20 years, or whatever it would be. The second theme, which is the main Teichen of the Igeres, is based on a passage of the Zohar that differentiates between two types of tshuva, tshuva tata, lower tshuva, and tshuva ilah, higher tshuva. And the Alter Rebbe is going to be masbir, what is called the lower level of tshuva, what is called the higher level of tshuva. And that's the bulk, that's the most important, most significant part of the Igeres. And the third part is the idea of simcha in tshuva, that although tshuva does require regret and remorse, but ultimately, one should do tshuva with a great amount of simcha, the simcha that Hashem is forgiving him, the simcha that he's reinstating the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, there's a simcha even in the suffering of Olam Hazeh, because all of those yisurin are a kapara that ultimately bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is better to suffer in this world, as we know, than to suffer in the world to come. Right? So those are the three basic themes. So last week we went over, I don't want to repeat everything, we went over the first three prakim, which were the Alter Rebbe's shita about the Tanesim of the Ari. Again, it's a little surprising because he doesn't stam as I say. You know, I would have expected him to say, well, forget about the fasting, not important today. Today the main thing is learning and stucca. He does not quite do that, meaning to say on one hand, he's telling the Hasidim not to go all the way. On the other hand, he is saying, but you know, Tanesim are pretty important. So, Lamaisa, I would have to tell you this. Lahalacha Lamaisa, I think even within Chabad, and Kal v'chomer outside of Chabad, by and large, even the Alter Rebbe's modified recommendations are not followed. And indeed, Bezman Hazeh, Kimat, everybody basically says, Tainis, beyond the Chiyuvim, beyond the obligations, are not things that we are supposed to follow. So, in this sense, even the Alter Rebbe was trying to be Mako, but his Kula itself is actually a lot stricter than is generally the case. Starting from Perek Dalet, we now develop the most important theme of the Igeres, and that is it's based on a passage in the Zohar. And the Zohar says a very, very interesting thing, and it's going to be hard to know what it means exactly, that the word Teshuvah, returning to God, teshuvah, can be broken up into two words or two phrases, toshuv hey. The hey, the letter hey, returns. That teshuvah means you are restoring the letter hey in its rightful position. What is the letter hey of what? Of the shame hamafirish, the shame havaya is Yud-Kei, which is Hey, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. And the Zohar says this. This is how it introduces upper tshuva and lower tshuva. Tshuva Tata restores the second Hey to the Shem HaMafirish. Tshuva Ilah restores the first Hey. So both of them are returning the Hey, but one is returning the lower Hey, the Hey at the end, and the other is returning the upper hay, which is the hay at the beginning. Again, there is a concept that the letters of the Shem Havaya themselves represent ascending. In other words, imagine the Shem Havaya written vertically. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Mimela, the second Hey is lower than the middle Hey, and therefore Tshuva Tata, the reason why it's called lower Tshuva is because it returns the lower Hey. Tshuva Ilah returns the upper Hey. So the Alter Rebbe starts off with the question, what exactly does that mean? What do the Heys have to do with it, besides the definition of what is lower Tshuva and upper Tshuva? He then brings another passage from the Zohar. In other words, he introduces a number of questions where the Zohar says the following. The Zohar says, in fact, the Tanya, he mentioned this before, all the way back to the beginning of Chelek Aleph, that there is a passage on the Zohar that says, if you're Maitzi Zera Levatala, if a person masturbates, a person is Maitzi Zera Levatala, so the Zohar famously has a shita that there is no tshuva for that Avera. Again, if you remember, the Alter Rebbe himself said all the way back in the Tanya that the Zohar does not mean that, but nevertheless, that's what the Zohar says. But then, the Sefer Reishis Chochma says that although there is not a lower tshuva that will give you a kapara, but an upper tshuva will, meaning an upper tshuva helps even for Chotzas Zera Levatala. So again, we have to understand the idea of upper tshuva and lower tshuva. Yeah?
Is it just specifically masturbating or any sort of spilling of seed?
Well, any spilling of seed outside of intercourse. I mean, it doesn't have to be masturbating, but generally speaking, that would be it.
By accident in the middle of the night? Or
no, we're talking about... we're talking... Well, I don't know if that's what he's asking, but we're talking about intentional. Okay? If it's unintentional, you're not responsible for that. Okay? But if a person intentionally wastes zera, so that's an avera, which the Zohar says there's no tshuva, but we're going to see, the Reishis Chochma says there is the higher level of tshuva that does work even for that, and not the lower. And again, the Alter Rebbe asks, you know, why should that be so? Really, tshuva should work for everything. If tshuva works even for avodah zarah, gilui arayos shvicha stamin, that's actually a more chomer aveira than hotzas zera levatola. So why should there be a difference? That's the second question the Alter Rebbe asks. And by the way, the Sefer Reishis Chochma, just for people who are not familiar with it, the Reishis Chochma was a Sefer, obviously, before the Bala Tanya. It was not a Hasidish Sefer, per se. It was written by a Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Leo Divadash, who was one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. And it's a very Kabbalistic, but the Reishis Chochma is a scary Sefer. The Reishis Chochma writes a lot about Gehenim and about the Midas Adin and the Onshim of Shemayim. So as a result, it's fallen a little out of use today, and indeed, Mashgichim might even discourage people from learning the Sefer Reishis Chochma, although they've come out with newer editions, so apparently there is a market for it. But again, I would not particularly recommend the Reishis Chochma, at least certain halakim of it. Nevertheless, it was among the Mekubalim. They were very much machshiv the Sefer. And here, by the way, the Reishis Chochma is giving us a kula, not a chumra, right? The Zohar says there's no tshuva, says the Reishis Chochma. There is tshuva ilah, even though there's not a tshuva tata. So in a sense, he's giving you a break, which is unusual for the Reishis Chochma, as a matter of fact, but he's giving you that. Okay. The third question that the Alter Rebbe asks is really a kind of out of left field, but it's all going to be connected, and that is the following. We have in the Torah 36 averos, which if you transgress them intentionally, not accidentally, you are chayev kares. And that includes anything that you're chayev misa for. Kares, for example, eating chametz on Pesach, chilul Shabbos, avodah zarah, eating chalev, eating chazer, you're not chayev kares, but eating chalev, the non-kosher fat, you're chayev kares. Now, if you did it b'shogeg, if I ate chametz, not knowing it was chametz, so that's the famous klal, any aveira for which b'mezid, you are chayev kares, b'shogeg, you're chayev a korban chatas. So it's important to understand that correlation. If, for example, I do an aveira b'shogeg for which I'm not chayev kares, like I ate a piece of chazer, b'shogeg. Now, if I eat chazer b'mezid, the maximum punishment I get is lashes, malchus, if I was given warning and the like. If I ate chazer b'shogeg, there is no onesh. I mean, Hashem, you know, has punishments, but there's no earthly onesh that you get creating chazer. So people sometimes make a mistake. For some reason I encounter this mistake. People think every avera b'shogeg, you're chayav a korban chatas. That's not emes. You're only chayav a korban chatas b'shogeg if it's an avera that you're chayav kores b'mezid. The example would be, I say, chametz, avodah zarah, chilul Shabbos, eating on Yom Kippur is a chayav kores. Now, what does kores mean? So, actually, kares actually means that God decrees that the person will die unless they do tshuva. Tshuva erases kares. That's very important. But unless a person does tshuva, kares means they die before the age of 50. And then there's another category, which is less severe, called misa bidei shamayim, death in the hands of heaven, which is for other averos. And there, the death will occur before the age of 60. So essentially, what kares and misa bidei shamayim means is premature death. So the Alter Rebbe asks an obvious question, which is kind of out of left field, but he'll connect it to the idea of tshuva, and that is, what does that mean? Plenty of people are over chayvei krisus, and they're not doing tshuva, and they don't die by 50, and they don't die by 60. So if you're defining this heavenly punishment as not losing olam haba, we're not defining it that way. We're defining it as simply meaning a person will die younger in this world. So how can we explain the fact? Now, good. Now, if you did tshuva, that's not a kasha. If you did tshuva, it's a davar pashut, and this is important to know, kares is erased with tshuva. That's beferish in the Gemara. That's a great, great chesed. But the Alter Rebbe says, plenty of people didn't do tshuva, and yet they don't die. So these are the three preliminary questions that the Alter Rebbe wants to explore. First, what does the Zohar mean when it says, lower tshuva restores the lower hay, the second hay of the Shema Meforish, tashuv hay, and higher tshuva restores the upper letter, the second letter of the Shema Meforish. Number one, how does it restore? How does the letter get dislodged, and how does tshuva restore it? And number two, within that, what is upper and what is lower tshuva? The definition of the term. That's question one. Question two is to be masbir the Reishis Chochma's distinction in the Zohar that a lower tshuva is not effective for Hotzas Zera Levatala, but upper tshuva is. Why is that so? And question three, which is not about tshuva per se, but it'll be connected in the answer, is if kares means premature death by 50, or in the case of misa bidei shamayim, by 60, how could it be that even without tshuva, many people who do kares or misa, they do not die at that young age? How can it be? In other words, you can't just give an answer, oh, they'll get punished in Olam Haba. I mean, yeah, that's true. But that's not the definition of kares, right? If that's not the definition, then you have a problem that what happens on earth does not correspond with the halachic definition of the onesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them, right? So it's a good kasha. In other words, it's more than the generic question. Like people ask a generic question. Why do Rishayim, you know, prosper in this world? Right? So on that, we could say a million things. Hashem gives them reward for the few mitzvahs that they do, so they'll get punished in Olam Haba. So generically, it's not such a problem. But this is a very specific problem. Kares and Misa B'dei Shemayim are given a definition, and the definition does not seem to be true. So these are the hakdamas, right? These are the introductions to the Alter Rebbe's disquisition. So, in order to answer all this, so first, let me give you, since the Alter Rebbe is Marich, and indeed, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe remarked, and historically it's very interesting, that in Igeres HaTshuva, he says, the Kabbalistic concepts, even though it's short, are actually more developed than they are in the Sefer Shalbeinu, in the Chelek Rishon of the Tanya. And it's interesting that the Alter Rebbe goes into a certain arifas. Again, it's limited in scope because it's a small Sefer. But on the pratim that he talks about, he goes into more Kabbalah than he would go into even in the Tanya. There's a reason for this, by the way. Since I think I mentioned last week that the Alter Rebbe originally wrote the Igeres HaTshuva in a Madura Kama, and then he totally rewrote it. Some Tanyas actually still have the Madura Kama, but Derech Klal we only have the second one. And what happens between the first writing and the second writing was his famous imprisonment in St. Petersburg. In Petersburg, you know the story. The Alter Rebbe was jailed by the Tsar. Why was he jailed? So again, to this day, there's all sorts of interesting speculations. Some say that some of the misnagdim filed false charges against him to get him out of the way. At least that's what some Hasidim thought. Again, it may not be true. Again, there's a lot of Lashon Hara here. In fact, a lot of Motzi Shemra, because Kishem, that the Misnagdim say, the Hasidim say, that the Misnagdim filed charges against the Alter Rebbe, so too the Gra was in jail for a short time, and they say the Hasidim filed accusations against the Gra. So there's mudslinging on both sides. We don't have to be machria if any of those stories are right. But the official charge against the Alter Rebbe was that he was very involved in raising money for Eretz Yisrael. Now, Eretz Yisrael at the time was under the rule of the Ottoman Empire, which was the Turkish in Constantinople. The Ottoman Empire was in a state of war against Russia. So consequently, if you were sending money to Eretz Yisrael, you were considered to be a supporter of the Ottoman Empire, and therefore you were guilty of treason. So the Alter Rebbe was in prison, and indeed, this could have been quite serious. If things hadn't worked out, Bahashkacha, he could have been executed for this. And Baruch Hashem, he was not there a very long time. He was there, I think, 6 weeks or so. He was there. He was actually in prison three times, but the major one was less than 2 months still. It's not easy. And he was finally released, and that is the famous day that Chabad considers to be the Rosh Hashanah of all Hasidus, and that is the great day of Yud Tes Kislev. And the reason why that is such a phenomenal day is that was the day of the Shichrur of the Alter Rebbe. But here's the thing. People ask Akasha, well, every Chabad Rebbe, except maybe the last one, has been in jail. So why do they only celebrate this one? They ought to celebrate all the other imprisonments. Actually, even the last Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik used to say this. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik knew Rav Nachum Mendel Schneerson from the University of Berlin. They were classmates. So, in fact, they were friends. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I knew the Rebbe before Matan Torah, meaning before he became the Rebbe. He says, I knew him from the olden days. And the story goes that when the Rebbe was a student in Berlin, he got Shikar on Purim, and he was giving a drasha outside. Now, in a German university, there was no concept of free speech or whatever it is. If you were not mesuder, you would be arrested for disorderly conduct. So the Rebbe was arrested for disorderly conduct, speaking without a permit. And Rav Soloveitchik paid the bail to get him out of prison, get him out of jail. He was in prison for one afternoon. And he then told the Rebbe, now you can become the Rebbe, because every Chabad Rebbe has to be in prison and get released. Baruch Hashem, you have been released, you can be the Rebbe now. But the question is, all of the Rebbeim were put in prison at various times, and some of them were also in dangerous matzavim. So what is unique about Yud Tes Kislev B'davka? The answer was that the Hasidim saw, and the Alter Rebbe himself saw this, that the Ma'asar was a machlokes in Shemayim, whether Chassidus should be mispashet. The Vilna Gaon was against it. And in Shemayim, the Malachim were debating the Midas, should it be good, should it not be good?
Vilna Gaon was already nifter, right?
Vilna Gaon was nifter, yeah. But in Shemayim, this was seen as a big machlokes. Should Chassidus have a kiyum, or should it be nullified? And the powers in Shemayim were going this way and that way and that way and that way. And when the Alter Rebbe was released, it was seen that this was a siman min haShemayim, that he should spread his teachings. And as the Baal Shem Tov said, an earlier statement from the Baal Shem Tov, much earlier, that Emasi Kiyasi Mar, he met Eliyahu HaNavi and he said, when will you come and announce Mashiach? And Eliyahu HaNavi answered to him, to the Baal Shem Tov, Lichshayafutsu Mayinaisacha Chutza, when the wellsprings of your wisdom spread to the world. But because of the Graz Hisnagdus, it was not clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be maskim to this. And the Shichrer of Yud Tes Kislev was said to be the great Nitzachan. Again, this is how Chabad touches it up. The great Nitzachan that the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov as interpreted by the Alter Rebbe should have a kiyum and a pirsum. That is what is special in Chabad's history of Yud Tes Kislev. It's not simply the release of their great Rebbe from prison, but it was a siman min hashamayim that the teachings of Chassidus should be spread. Now, because of this, it is brought down that the Alter Rebbe's style of writing after the Masar and before the Masar were very different. The Sefer Shel Beinonim was written before the Masar. The Igeres HaTshuva was rewritten afterwards. And they say that the Alter Rebbe afterwards was much more Kabbalistic, he was much more detailed, he was much more teaching things that he thought perhaps should not have been revealed earlier, but he saw his being freed from prison as a siman min hashamayim that he should go full speed ahead. Did you want to say?
The story with the Baal Shem Tov and the Eliyahu HaNavi?
Yes.
Is that universally recognized as a true story, or?
Well, I wouldn't say it's universally recognized as a true story. It is a story that is recorded, so everyone...
He himself wrote it,
though.
Huh? He himself wrote it in the letter
to his brother. Wrote? Well, that's another problem. The so-called letter to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon...
That's where it's found.
Yeah, yeah, but the Rav Gershon Tidavar was a Chashev Rav, the Baal Shem Tov's brother-in-law, and this is a letter of the Baal Shem Tov to Rav Gershon Tidavar. But again, some people say the letter is not authentic. So I can never tell you anything is a true story. I mean, whether it's Hasidish or Litvisha. If you didn't see it yourself, you don't know if it's true. Maybe even if you saw it, you don't always know what you're seeing. But this is a well-known Maisa that Hasidim do Ar Makabel, and Chabad uses it to explain Yud Tes Kislev. So consequently, the greater detail of Kabbalah within the small confines of Igeres HaTshuva do stem from the fact that this was written after the Yud Tes Kislev in which the Rebbe was released. And again, I'm not enough of a Bucky in all of the Ksavim of the Alter Rebbe, but those who are Bucky say you can always tell a very noticeable chiluk between the pre-Yud Tes Kislev writing and the post-Yud Tes Kislev writing. So here, in order to answer all of these different questions, the Alter Rebbe starts off with a very, very interesting observation. And that is, the creation of the neshama of a human being is totally different than the creation of everything else. Everything else in the universe was created by Hashem's dibor. We say, V'yasara ma'amorais nivra ha'olam. Hashem created the world by statements. Yehi or, let there be or, yehi rokia, etc. Now, by mankind, although it also says nasa adam, but put that aside for a moment, man was created not by dibor, man was created by neficha, at least the neshama. What does the pasuk say? Vayipach biyapav nishmas chayim. Hashem breathed into man the soul of life. Meaning, let's say, the soul of an animal, Hashem simply said, let there be life in the animal. With man, there was a neficha. What is the nafkamina between creation by speech? And remember, we learned at the end of Shaar Emunah U'Bitachon that essentially speech doesn't really mean a voice, but it means that Kishem that a dibor is mitzi a machshava lachutz, like you express your thoughts. So when Hashem implements his thoughts in carrying it out, that is called dibor, and the channels are the 22 letters of the aleph base, so to speak, that channel divine energy in certain ways. But that is still called dibor or osios. Right, so everything in the universe was created through the dibor that gets concretized in the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, when combined in a certain way, create energies that give rise to a table, to a computer, to a building, to a horse, to a cow. Right, through the channeling of divine energy in the Chaf Beis pathways of the Aleph Beis. That's why, as I said, Mark Twain's joke is absolutely MS, right? The old story, why is a lion called a lion? So Adam says to Eve, because it looks like a lion, what else should I call it? Absolutely MS. Adam Harishain called an Aryeh an Aryeh, because the Aryeh is made up of the energies of Aleph, Resh, Yud, Hey, arranged in a certain way. And Adam Harishain, X-ray vision, saw the spiritual Messias, that's Mekayim. So that is Hashem acting through Osios and Dibor. The human neshama was not created through Dibor. It was created through Neficha. God breathed into the body. The Zohar's lashon is, Man de Nefich, when I breathe into something, Mi Tochei Nefich, I am breathing my innermost life force. Speech is one level removed from me. There is me, and there is my Dibor. Now, it's true that in every speech there is an expulsion of sound. There is some air coming out of my mouth. But the air, so to speak, that's coming out of my mouth is chitzonius. It's external, right? It's not coming from the deep recesses of my essence, unless you're an opera singer or something, singing all the way from the gut. The Dibor, the Hevel of Dibor, comes from the mouth, the external. But when I have to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I'm breathing from my panemius. Now, obviously, Alter Rebbe says Hashem doesn't have a guf, so obviously this is all metaphorical. But the chiluk the Torah is making between Neficha and Dibor is Dibor, although, remember, because of the Yichud Hashem, the Dibor of Hashem is the Metzias of Hashem. So you're going to run into a tension there. But the Dibor is the Chitzainius of the Metzias Hashem. The Neficha is the Panemius. Again, these are very abstract ideas. I cannot say I fully understand them either. But the point basically is, to put it in simple terms, I mean, the simple point is a simple point, although it's a very deep point, and that is the neshama is called a chelek elokai. It actually incorporates within it the inner metzias of Hashem, as opposed to everything else which comes from the dibor of Hashem. That is called the chitzonius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the panemius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very, very, actually, it's a very, very powerful observation, because indeed it is unique that everything was created b'maimer, b'dibor, but the neshama of a person was created b'neficha, and that connotes the idea that the neshama is a chelak elokam imal, and that is the meaning of the pasuk that we say in Tehillim, we say it every day, in Yehi Kavod. He says, Chelek Hashem Amo. Chelek Hashem Amo. His nation, at least the Jewish soul, is a chelek of Hashem. Our souls are a chelek of Hashem. And indeed, Hashem is there as Shem Havaya. We contain within us aspect of the Shem Havaya. Now the next part of the pasuk we'll talk about a little later. Yaakov, Chevel, Nachala. So Yaakov is his rope. We'll talk about why that's important. Ki chelek Hashem amo. And he makes the point that even the Malachi Hashares were created b'dibor. And that's why they are called b'nei Elokim. Angels are called, because Elokim refers to God's ultimate presence being concealed. Remember, Elokim is b'gematria, Hateva, nature. So that which is created b'dibor, that's why in Bria Solom, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, because there's simsum, there's hester, there's concealment. That's called chitzonius. And therefore, everything created b'dibor is begeter Elokim, but the nishma sa'adam is what? Is chelek, right? Chelek Hashem, amo, we are a chelek of the Shem Havaya, which is the innermost essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias, and that's the chiluk between Naficha and Amira. Now, the only question that the Baal HaTanya has to struggle with, although he does, the answer is not so clear to me, is that L'chaira, by Brias HaAdam, you also have Amira, because one of the ten Mamoras is Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam Bitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. Right? Hashem said, let us make man. Which means mankind is also a product of Amira. Right? So this distinction between Naficha and Amira does not totally hold true, because Adam also is Amira, and it's Vayomer Elokim. So the Baal HaTanya is matchik a little bit, and he says there's a distinction between the creation of the neshama and the ability of this neshama to reside in a guf. Because after all, if the neshama is a chelek eloka mimal, and God is infinite, how would it be possible for the spiritual essence of infinity to be confined within the limitations of a physical entity? So for that, there had to be a concealment of God's divine light, which, so to speak, reduced the apparent potency of the neshama, so it's containable within a physical limit. And for that, Hashem channeled the energy through the Aleph Beis, through the Chaf Beis, letters of the Aleph Beis, through a getter of Amira. So in other words, there are two different levels. The actual creation of the neshama is begetter neficha, not Amira, but the yirida of the neshama to the guf, that took place through the bechina of osios and dibor, which is called the chitzainius of the Ein Sof. Okay, again, very, very hard stuff, but the basic distinction, and again, even without the Baal HaTanya, the observation itself is worthy of note, that everything in the world is bi'amira, and the neshama is vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim. Now it's interesting, as I say, I mean, what the Babaji Rebbe said is, doesn't need my askama, is 100% correct. This observation is not in the Tanya. This very, very clear observation is touched not in the Sefer Shalbeinonim. This is the first time that the Alter Rebbe points out this particular chiluk.
Huh? Rav
Chaim does talk about it. So again, he saw he saw the Egeres HaTshuva. Okay, alrighty. Yeah.
Why couldn't it just be very meaning the guf, the physical guf itself, which you know is physical and it disintegrates and it just like everything else that's physical in the world? Why do you have to say it's the yirida of the neshama?
No, the reason is like this. Yeah. It's a good question. But the reason is because since it says Nasa Adam Kitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. So that can't be an Amira only Lagabe the Guf. Because the notion of Kitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu is Badafki referring to the Kaichas of the Neshama. So there had to be an Asiya of the Neshama that also was Begetter Amira through the 22 letters of the Alphabet. Okay. So now, let's take it a little further. So building on this, again, we haven't answered any of the questions yet. This is just kind of the fundamental introductory structure, and the Alter Rebbe is Marich in this structure. He then goes on and says the following, that the truth of the matter is that you see in the Shem Havaya itself all of the stages through which God creates the universe. Prior to the energy being concretized in the osios and the letters of the Aleph Beis, meaning what happens, so to speak, within God before you get to the Asara Mamora Isnivra Ha'ima. meaning the Asara Ma'amaris Nivra Ha'ilam is Bechinas Elokim, which is concealment. But within the Shem Havaya, things happen before there's a Tzimtzum and a concealment on the level of Elokim, which is Teva. So he says the following. He says, the Shem Havaya itself is a remez to all of the 10 spheros, which are the channels of divine energy that bring creation into the world. The Yud, which is a smallest letter, that represents what we call Chachma. Chachma is the initial flash, which has not yet even been concretized into any metzias, to create something. When the Chachma gets expanded, again, let's use a human analogy to understand this. If I'm an architect, and I'm planning on building something, so the Chachma is the simple idea that I want to build a house. Bina is enlarging the idea, so I now picture the house in terms of bedrooms and windows, etc. Okay, so Chachma is the undifferentiated, undefined idea of what of creating something, although it may be defined in terms of a bias. Bina is the Harchava. The Harchava is the expansion of it. Then we have the Midos, Chesed Gvura, and we can call that, the analogy will be, those are the resources I need to be able to carry out my plan. So I need financing, I need workers, I need materials. So they're called Midos. So there is the going back to Hashem, there is the Chachma, there is the Bina, there are the Midos, the various Midos that are needed. So the Yud of the Shem HaMafarish is Chachma. The Hay represents the idea of Bina. It's when, now in Hashem this all takes place simultaneously, that's the thing, but it is a process. There is the Chachma, from the Chachma comes the Bina. Now Bina, the Hay is both a horizontal expansion and it's a vertical expansion. Horizontal in the sense that the idea gets enlarged and it's nimshach towards the earth, towards the world. The Vav, right, so Chachma Bina, the Vav represents the six spheros that are Midos, Chesed, loving kindness, Gevura, inner strength, Tiferes, beauty, which combines the two, Netzach is eternity, Yesod, I'm going to say Netzach, Hod, glory, Yesod, again, whatever these different Midos are, but these are the Midos. So you go from the Chachma Bina to the Midos. And the last Hay represents the tenth Svira, which is called Malchus, God's kingship. And Malchus is when the Chachma, the Bina, and the Midos are now put in a framework where they will be implemented in actual creation. So the last Hay is Malchus, it's Makabel, the Shefa of those spheros, and therefore Malchus is the Sheirish Hadibur, meaning to say, what will come out of Malchus will be the Elokim, which will be the osios of the Alephes and the Dibur. So therefore, the last Hay is called the Makor HaDibur. But that's still the Maila from the actual Dibur and the actual osios. It's the Makor of the Dibur. And he says, after the reason why Hay is the Makor of the Dibur, number one, in speech, there are different letters of the alphabet. They come from different parts of the pad. There is from the throat, the chech, and the garon. There are five different, the shinayim. There are five different parts, the palate. There are five different parts of speech that come from different parts of the mouth. And hay itself is a breath, etc. But do you see the chiluk here? In other words, The last hay is not yet a dibor of Hashem, but it's the makor of the dibor of Hashem. So all the nivrayim come from actual dibor. The neshama of a person comes from the second hay. That is the makor of the dibor. That's the chelik of the shem, of the shem hamafirish. Now the Baal HaTanya then goes on and says that kishem, that the four letters of the shem havaya correspond to chachma, bina, the six midos, the vav, the six midos of the sfiros, and the hay is malchus. In the yud itself, there is something that is called a kutzo shel yud, right? And the yud has a little point above the yud that represents a sphera that's even higher than chachma, that we sometimes don't even count because it's beyond any discussion. And that is called keser, God's crown, which is God's rutzon. That there's a concept before there can even be chachma, before the architect can say, "I want to make a house." There has to be some rutzon, undifferentiated rutzon, that's pushing him in that direction. So the kutzai shel yud is the rutzon hapnimi that is called keser. Yeah.
Chabad generally goes with chacham bina das.
Yeah.
Then now we're switching over to keser chacham bina.
That's correct.
What is it? How do we choose when to use?
Well, it's hard to say because the truth of the matter is that das is not really a sphere of bichlal. Das is simply the keyboard. The reason Chabad uses das so much is because since the Alter Rebbe's whole teaching is that the midas have to come from the fusion of chachma and bina, so das is the fusion of chachma and bina that gives rise. In other words, the concept was to deliberately use what you might call a reproductive metaphor, that the chachma and the bina cohabit, and out of them come the spheros. But das is not an independent sphera. But they use das to show that the midos have to come from the chachma and bina rather than from emotions, mibachutz. But here the Alter Rebbe Badavka uses kutzo shel yud, is the keser elyon. Now the Alter Rebbe then says, therefore, that the our neshamos are nishtalshel, they come down from the hay, the second hay of the shem hamafirish, that represents malchus, as opposed to every other nivra, which comes from a level below that, which is dibor and osios of the aliphates. And that is the meaning of, once again, chelek Hashem amai. We are a chelek of Hashem, meaning to say our neshamos are directly makusher to the hay, the second hay, of the shem hamafirish. So now he's masber like this. This won't answer all the questions, but he says the following. He says, so it turns out that my neshama spiritually gets its chiyus from the kayach of the Ein Sof that emanates from the hay of the Shem HaMafirish. And this is described in two metaphors. One is, we are a chelek, in that same pasuk, chelek Hashem, we are a chelek of God. And the other is, we are a rope that's connected to God, chevel. Right, there's chevel and chelek. Now chelek corresponds to neficha, because when I breathe into you, I'm giving you my life force. So now, here's the problem. Now, why we use two metaphors, I don't see the Alter Rebbe's explanation. He's using both metaphors to make the same point, but why the Pasuk uses both, it's not clear to me. He says like this. I breathe into you, but if there's something blocking my breath from entering you, it's not going to enter you. Neficha can be blocked, obviously. But what blocks the neficha of Hashem? Really, nothing. There's nothing physical that can block the neficha of Hashem, because there is no physical reality other than God. So, what can block neficha? Averos can block Neficha. Because the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Averos are Mavdil. Averos are a Mechitza. So now, says the Baal HaTanya, you now understand what Kares is. A person does an Avera for which he's Chayav Kares, that blocks the breath of God from entering into him. That's the only blockage there is. The body is not a blockage. The building is not a blockage. But an Avera, Sheyesh Bo Kares at least, we'll talk about whatever it's not Kares. The Torah says that blocks you. If that blocks you and your neshama comes from the hashpa of the hay, which is Shema Mefarish, and this blocks the neficha, automatically you die. So the only question is, so why do you live until 50? You ought to die right away. So here, he says a strange thing. I really don't know how this corresponds with the general theory of Yichud V'Amuna. He says, well, listen, even when you're totally menutak from the hay, you have a reshimu. There's an impression left on you from your connection to God. It's like you cut off the gas tank, but there's still fumes and vapors there. And the vapors can keep you alive for a while, so to speak. You're living on the fumes. Meaning, even if there's a nituk, even if there's a disassociation, you wind up living on the fumes of God's divinity that are still within you. Now, if it's an avera, now, he then says the same thing is true with the metaphor of chevel. Chevel is a rope. He says, imagine my rope to God consists of 613 strands, 248 positive commandments, 365 negative commandments. Now, if you do an avera for which you're chayav kares, that cuts the rope, and you live on the reshimu. If it's an avera that you're not chayav kares, you haven't cut the rope, but the rope does get weaker, because you cut a thread of the rope. And the Alter Rebbe actually says, I'm not sure if this is halacha l'maaseh, I'm sure it isn't. He says that even if you do a lot of averas for which you're not chayiv kares, eventually it turns into a kares, because the mashal would be, you cut the small ropes, you cut too many small ropes, at that point the whole rope gets broken. So the Alter Rebbe actually says, Kares is unique, you cut the rope with even one thing. Other Averos, you're pogame the connection, but Ein Achinami, it's Shayach, the Alter Rebbe says, that the Riboy HaAveros of even something that's not Chayiv Kares may have the same effect. Which is a big Chiddush. I mean, the Alter Rebbe seems to be saying, it's Shayach for a person to be Chayiv Kares for doing a whole bunch of averos, which are not chayiv kares, but if you do enough of them, whatever the number is, that cuts the rope. So memela, this is masbir in general terms, why people die, and why they're able to survive until 50 or 60, because there's a reshima, there are fumes in them from God's presence that can still keep them alive. So now, to answer the third kasha, we haven't explained the other two questions. So the question the Alter Rebbe asked was, so why bizman hazeh does this not happen? A person can live a regular old age. So the Alter Rebbe says the following. There's a chiluk bizman hamikdash and shelo bizman hamikdash. Bizman hamikdash, the only source of your life force, the only thing that could give you life, was the hay of the Shem HaMefarish. So Mamela, when you committed a kares and you cut off that source of life, you would die. Albeit not right away. The Rishima would keep you alive. But Bisman Hazeh, something happened. when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah went into Galus. Again, all of these terms, we don't know what it means exactly. It's not just we went into Galus. The Shekhinah went into Galus. And one of the manifestations of the Shekhinah going into Galus is that the Averos that we do take the hay of the Shem HaMafirish and drags it down, takes it away from its normal makam. So the Shem HaMafirish is now giving life to the forces of evil and the klipas. And I get my life force from them, like the animals, and the goyim, the rishayim, etc. So it turns out that at least after the Khorban, I could get my chiyus from the klipas that are getting their life force. Again, it's a mutual thing. My averos empower the klipos to draw life from the hay. So my averos give them the power to draw from the hay. It also drags down the hay. The hay then gives them life, which gives me life. Memela, the Bala Tanya says, that's why I can live, even though I'm chay of kares. Because if kares cuts off my connection to the hay, but fakert, it doesn't cut off my connection to the klipos. And memela, if the Shechinta Begalusa means that the hay could feed, so to speak, the klipas, I'm getting my yamika from the klipas. So now it turns out, therefore, when a person does an Avera, certainly if he does a Chiyav Kares, and even if he does Averos, which are not Chiyav Kares, but he does it a lot, he has cut off his direct connection to God. And he is getting his life force from powers of evil. And although, from our perspective, you know, we don't feel a difference necessarily, as we seem to be able to do the same thing one way or the other. But apparently, on the level of the neshama, this is extremely, extremely, extremely painful. And mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's painful that he is feeding the beast, he is feeding the powers of evil. So when you do tshuva tata, lower tshuva, what you are doing is you are restoring the hay of the Shem HaMafirish, the second hay, back into its position, so that instead of being dragged into the toilet, so to speak, giving its hashpa'ah to the Sitra Achra, the powers of evil, you have restored it in the position where it's no longer feeding the Klipos and the Sitra Achra, and you in turn can directly get your Chiyus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayipach Biapach Nishmas Chayim instead of through the Sitra Achra. And that is called lower tshuva, which is restoring the hay to its rightful makim, so it is no longer dragged into the mud, which is both a tsar for the Shekhinah and a tsar for your neshama, which is no longer getting the light of Hashem except through the power of the klipas. This again is tashuv hay, the hay is restored.
This sounds like a pretty powerful idea, right? So why would this be termed as the lower level of tshuva? Maybe I missed that before.
Well, because there's something higher. I mean, you're right. this is what the first level is. And we'll see what is higher than that. But this is it's called lower only because it's the first thing you got to do.
This, in reference to you brought the hay back, but in reference to the actual hay, it's still in the street in regards to everybody else?
That's correct. Obviously, one person does tshuva, there are other people who didn't do tshuva. So lagabe them, the hay is makoko, but at least lagabe the yochid, you were machzer the hay l'mkayma, and therefore you bring a nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, because the avla is You're hurting yourself. In fact, that's the meaning of the pasuk. The yashayv, again, it's very ingenious. The yashayv el Hashem v'rachameyu, right? So literally that means he shall return to God and he will have mercy on him. Meaning Hashem will have mercy on the sinner. But the Baal HaTanya says, we interpret it this way. The hay returns, right? The yashayv, you return the hay to God's name. The yashav el Hashem, the yudkei vavkei, return the hay to the yudkei vavkei. V'rachameyu, and have rachamim on Hashem. On Hashem. Have rachamim on Hashem.
There is no more karis nowadays. Well, there could be, because if you don't connect to the klipa and you were cut off because you have karis, then you could possibly get karis.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say. Well, why wouldn't you connect to the klipa? Theoretically, there could be karis. I mean, obviously, there's a chimer of an aver of karis, but in terms of actual dying, it may not be the case.
Does that start before 50 or that starts at 50?
What?
When a person gets his chiyus from the klipa, does that only start at 50 because he dies and could continue living on the?
No, I think it starts with the avera. It starts with the avera. The avera says
you're getting. He doesn't need the chiyus then. He doesn't need the chiyus from.
You don't need it, but you also don't deserve it. And the avera is your mavdil. In other words, I commit.
The avera. There's a shiva that already exists within me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That I don't know. Do you want to say? Oh, you want to say I could live on the reshima, meaning to say I don't need to be connected to the klipa. Yeah, that's a good point. In other words, that's a good point. If Lamaisa Bisman HaMikdash, I was totally disconnected from a life force, but I was living on the Rishimo, so why can't I have that same benefit now? Okay, that's something. That's something to think about. Yeah. But at least after 50, for sure, the Cholapachas, he's living off the Klipa, and that is an alternative energy source. Now, it's coming from God, but it meant that your Averis dragged HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpa through the Klipas, and that's a tzar for the Shechina, a tzar for you, and Mimele, your Tshuva Tata is Machzer the Hay Limkaima, and that is what Tshuva Tata is. Yeah?
Let's just say he has no fumes to run on, and this is Bismana Mikdash. What's the difference between if he does something that's five cars at 49 versus 51?
Well, I assume, that's an interesting question. If a person did something that he's chayav kares at 51, so that's an interesting question. The Baal HaTanya's explanation is a little schwer, because the traditional explanation is, if you did it at 51, you would die right away, which probably, didn't even exist then. The Baal HaTanya says, if it's a reshimo, that would seem to indicate, actually, isn't an interesting question. The reshimo should give you 50 years, no matter what age you committed the sin. I mean, if you're telling me the fumes can keep me around until I'm 50, then if I do it at 40, it should keep me around until I'm 90. So I don't know how that's going to work with the Rishima. Or at least maybe Bar Mitzvah, maybe if you're not, actually 20, the truth is you're not Chayiv Kares except 20. So it turns out the Rishima, if I do an Avera at 20, my Rishima keeps me alive for 30 years. So if I do an Avera at 30, it ought to keep me alive also for 30 years. And yet...
It's a leaking gas tank. Eventually
it's leaking, okay. It leaks out. Okay, it could be. It could be as the body gets weaker, things leak out. I don't know. It's not a pasuk thing. And Michal, the Rishima is very hard to understand. I mean, if you go with the idea of Achdus, that there's nothing but God, I mean, there's no independent Rishima. I mean, it's God. And if there's no connection to God, then what's going to keep you alive?
Yeah. So the place,
is it 30 years, or is it maybe like there's something special about the age?
About the age itself, apparently. But apparently the age is what matters, although I'm not sure why. Now, let me say just Bekitzer, because Tshuva Ilah is going to be another discussion. Let me just say Bekitzer what Tshuva Ilah is. First of all, the most important thing to know about Tshuva Ilah is that you cannot do Tshuva Ilah before you do Tshuva Tata. And the basic idea is, tshuva tata clears out the blockages and it repairs the damage. Whether you looked at a sin as a blockage, or whether you look at it as a severance of the rope. Again, it's not borrowed to me. I'm sure there's a significance in the two mishalim, but the Alter Rebbe is playing with two mishalim here. How you get separated from the hay. One way of getting separated from the hay is an avera is a blockage of the neficha. The other metaphor or mashal that is used, it is the cutting of a rope. Vadai, there has to be a reason why these two mashalim are used. I don't see in the Sefer itself a hesber for the two mashalim, but he uses both mashalim.
But the rope, it makes more sense when you're talking about the other Avirus. When
yeah.
You're talking about the Shiva, we're talking about the block, it's hard to understand what other Avirus would do
yeah.
in regards to that.
Well, it's hard to say because Lamaisa, the pasuk that says Averos or Mavdilin, he gives an example. Yeah, he gives an example with that too. He says, he gives an example. Let's imagine you had a thin mechitza. He uses the same mashal, and a thin mechitza can block out some light. But if you take a bunch of thin curtains, eventually it becomes so thick. So he uses the notion of mechitza as blocking. Although, blocking light and blocking breath is not the same process. I mean, a thin mechitza can block breath, but he switches to blocking light. So, whatever the significance of the mishalim, we'll think about it some more, he uses both mishalim, and Shuva Tata repairs the rope and removes the blockages. Right? That's what it does. It repairs the damage to the arteries. It repairs the damage to the system, it removes the blockages. But tshuva ilah is the next step to reestablish the relationship. Now here we have to understand this, because l'chaira, you would think that reestablishing the flow is automatic, because if the flow stopped because the rope was cut, or there are mechitzais hamavdil, so you would think, al pi pshat, that once you remove the mechitzas, or once you repair the rope, memela you have the flow. There's no other thing you got to do. So here the Alter Rebbe suggests like this. The Alter Rebbe suggests that tshuva ilah doesn't just mean you repair the flow. That's going to be automatic from tshuva tata. But it means that your machshir, your neshama, to the state of yichud to Hashem that it had before it even entered the guf. Meaning to say, it's a deep level of intimacy which transcends the guf. And that's a very, very high level. And the Alter Rebbe's point actually is that this does not depend on sinning at all. Meaning, yes, if you've sinned, you cannot do tshuva ilah until you've done tshuva tata. But let's say you haven't sinned. So what? Tshuva ilah is the lifetime process of a person. You become davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by connecting, you know, we'll talk about the higher hay, why would it be the higher hay, but by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the same level as it was before the neficha. Because even neficha neficha is, I'm giving you my life force, but it's separated from me. So tshuva ilah takes that neficha and it reconnects it to the makor of that neficha, which is a very, very high level of intimacy. And the mela, that does not require, right? That's the old, similar to the old joke, the famous story, an Or Sameach legend story, where a Talmud of Or Sameach once met one of the Ger Rebbe's. I don't know which Rebbe it was. And the Rebbe asked him, what yeshiva do you learn? And he said, Or Sameach. But the boy said right away, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So the Ger Rebbe said, not a Baal Tshuva? Why aren't you a Baal Tshuva? What yid is not a Baal Tshuva? So for most of us, the truth is, we have to be Baal Tshuva even on the lowest level. We have plenty of Averus. But Bala Tanya says you could be the greatest tzaddik in the world. In fact, even a tzaddik under the Bala Tanya's definition of a tzaddik. And the Aveda of Tshuva Ilah is something you have to work for.
How is it done?
All of your life. So we'll talk about that. He doesn't really give us magical ages. He talks about Limud HaTorah and Tefillah, but we'll talk about it. But it refers to a level of Devekus, is Dabkus Rucha Barucha is the phrase, that you want the Ruach that's in you to reattach to the Ruach Panimi of Hashem, and in that way you become Lagamri Nisyachid with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
So, how do you know, because you have to do Tshuva Tata and then, how do you know at what stage you've done Tshuva Tata so you can move on to
Yeah. So, you know, you don't always know for sure, but the tshuva tata, he basically says, is when you have a shviras alev, when you have a broken heart over your sins and you genuinely regret your sins. In other words, how you do it is largely the way the Rambam tells us how to do it. You have remorse for the past, you resolve for the future, you are ma'orer in your heart, rachamim on yourself, you actually feel pity for what you've done to your neshama, and you feel pity for what you've done to God, and your rachamim is ma'orer Hashem's rachamim. And then, the Baal Tanya says, you have to be confident, he writes, you have to be confident Hashem has accepted your tshuva. So when you say, how do you know? The Baal Tanya would say, you're supposed to be certain that he's accepted your tshuva. And then you move on to the higher level.
And what is the tshuva that's all for different sort of hearts? Praying for childhood.
What is it? What's it again?
How do you know what tshuva you have to do for each sort of
heart? Well, each one is this. I mean, the tshuva is essentially the same. That is, as I say, the being ma'orer rachamim on your soul and on Hashem, having a broken heart, resolving not to do it again, saying vidoy, it's the same process. Now, one thing I should, let me just add one thing though. The Geras HaTshuva actually does begin with a Gemara. It's a very important Gemara to know, although it's not necessarily major in the overall thesis of the Geras HaTshuva, that there are four types of, actually, he brings three types, there's actually four types. He brings the ratio of the price. There are three types of aveiros. If I am over on a mitzvah saseh, I didn't read Kriya Shema, then all I do is tshuva tata, and I get forgiven. If I'm over on a negative commandment, like I ate chazer, then I need two steps to be forgiven. I need tshuva, and I need the power of Yom Kippur. If I was over on something for which I'm chayav kares, now remember, I said if I do tshuva, the kares gets erased, but there are some conditions. I need three things to get a kapara. I need tshuva, I need Yom Kippur, and I need a certain measure of suffering in this world. Now the suffering could be major, God forbid, or minor. That's why if a person misses a bus, or a person spills a cup of coffee on themselves, one should be happy. One should say, Baruch Hashem, let it be a kapara. Now those are the three the Alter Rebbe brings. The Gemara goes on. I don't know why he doesn't bring the rest of the Gemara, that there is a fourth Aveira for which Tshuva will not help, and Yom Kippur will not help, and Yisurin will not help, and there will only be a Kapara when a person dies if he has the other three, and that's called Chilul Hashem, where we did something that caused a desecration of God's name. People look at us and say, if that's what a Jew is, if that's what a from Jew is, I don't want to be part of it. And there, Taka, only Mises Mechaper, just shows you how chomer Chilul Hashem is. For some reason, the Alter Rebbe does not bring that Gemara. Now, perhaps he was Samach and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam brings the Gemara of Chilul Hashem and says, Chilul Hashem has no kapara until the day of death. But Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that Chilul Hashem also has a kapara, and he gives two kaparas for Chilul Hashem, besides death. He says, kapara number one is learning Torah with great devotion. And he has a very ingenious raya, because the Gemara says on the Pasuk, Zos HaTorah, this is the Torah by Paraduma, Adam ki yamos b'yayel, when a man dies in the sand. Now, the Pasuk Peshat is the Torah is describing the din of Tumas Oel. Right, someone dies in a building, everybody in the ayol is tameh. The Chazal have a drasha. Zayis ha-taira, when will a person merit knowing taira? You have to be maimis, you have to kill yourself in your work and your devotion. So Miller, Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's a very logical syllogism. If Chilul Hashem only has a kapara b'misa, but limud ha-taira is described as maimis atzma b'ayol, so says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you're maimis atzma b'ayel, that'll be a kapara for Chilul Hashem. Zezak Rabbeinu Yonah. And the second thing he says is that if you try to be makadesh Hashem's name to the same degree You are mechalel Hashem's name. Even though it's different people, the people I may have turned off may not be the people I'm reaching now, but if in a cosmic way you made as much Kiddush Hashem or more as you made Chilul Hashem, Rabbeinu Yaina says that could be a kapara for Chilul Hashem as well. Either way, whether you follow the Rambam or Rabbeinu Yaina, the Alter Rebbe does not bring Chilul Hashem. He only brings three of those four levels. So it is true that even Bizman Azeh, Chayvei Krisis only have a kapara with Yisurin, even if you do tshuva. So that there's going to be a difference there. But in terms of the tshuva that you do, it seems the tshuva is going to be the same requirement for all of the different types of avers. Okay, you all be well. Have a good time tomorrow.
Yes, the second question.
Not yet. In fact, I'm trying to figure this out. I have not found a teretz in the writing. I mean, this is something. There might be something missing. I'm going to look again.